I am Charlie Bennett, and this is the North Avenue Lounge. Welcome to the North Avenue Lounge with no sound check. Shannon, say hello to everybody. Oh, you're on program too. Now say hello to everybody.
Hello to everybody.
Perfect. Chris, say hello to everybody.
What's happening?
I said, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Amanda, say whatever you want. I don't want to get in a fight with you.
Yeah, I'm not falling for this. I understand what you're doing. You're trying to sound check us without sounding like you're sound checking us.
Nicely done. I am, as always, a little bit too much. There we go.
Yeah, you are.
Welcome to the last host of Palooza of 2016. We are all back in the same room once again. The hosts of North Avenue Lounge, the guests are the hosts, and the hosts are the guests. Shannon, take it away.
Yay! I love Host of Palooza. It's so exciting. And it's not even a fifth Monday, but we decided to have a Host of Palooza anyway because it had been so gosh darn long since we had one. We need to get together and celebrate a fantastic year.
And no guests would return our phone calls over the Thanksgiving break.
Yeah. We also just wanted to have a chance to get together and talk about the holidays. So, but first, because it has been so gosh darn long since we got together, lots and lots of stuff has happened in all of our personal lives. So let's start with Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, you had a baby.
Yeah.
It's a miracle of modern technology.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. She's part human, part machine, more machine than man. I had a baby. She's 3 months old today.
That's because last time we had a Host Palooza, we had a little quiz, and that's when you announced that the baby was coming.
Yeah.
And I cried on air.
Yeah, she is here, and she is adorable. Today was her first day of daycare, which was surprisingly emotional for me because I work from home, and so I guess I've been like a stay-at-home dad for the past 3 months and just used to having her around.
Well, it's a rite of passage.
I know. And then, like, I thought, oh, she's going to daycare. Finally, I get the house back to myself during the day. But, my wife went to work, and I got her dressed and walked her to daycare and dropped her off.
She's walking already?
Oh, no, I walked her. Our daycare's like half a mile from the house. So I walked her down in the stroller, and she, I was kind of like, okay, kid, I'll see you later. And she fell asleep before I left the daycare, so she wasn't even concerned that I was leaving her.
Oh, so you got a little sad.
Yeah, but she's doing, she's great, man. She's like a super chill baby. She's up, she sleeps 12 hours a night. And like,
I hate you.
Oh, she's okay. She's been super chill. She won't sleep during the day very much, so she's constantly have to be entertained, but
have nothing to complain about. If she sleeps through the night, you have nothing.
We just have to call this out. This is another one of those places where Charlie and Chris are alike, and where Amanda and I are alike. So Charlie and Chris get to riff off of being the old married guys, and now they both have little wee creatures in their lives as well.
Mine are actually getting kind of big.
Oh.
Everybody, this fall, I had the 4-year-old birthday and the 2-year-old birthday for the twins.
Wow.
So
nice.
They're all walking and talking and making things very strange for their mom and me.
Yeah.
You got such things coming for you, Chris. It's going to be amazing.
I can only imagine, because she's not walking yet. She's just rolling over now, but she's still pretty much immobile, where if I put her down someplace, I can guarantee she'll be there when I come back in 5 to 10 minutes.
My wife and I lived in an 800-square-foot half of a duplex when we had our baby, and it was tight but nice. It was sort of romantic. It was cramped. Oh, it's our little cottage. The moment that Lila Jane started walking, it was like, this place is too small. We're going to have to buy a house.
Oh, yeah. I'm already feeling that. I'm like, I have a feeling we're going to have to move someplace a little bit bigger. Although, I'm looking at expanding our existing house because I love our little house. So I'm kind of like,
have you gotten any quotes for that?
Not yet.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. So
we were looking into a sunroom or like a back porch.
Yeah.
What do they call that? A deck, a wooden porch, deck, or even a front porch.
Yeah.
You know, and it was horrifying to get those. You know, the guys like, I'm not going to name any names, but the guy's like, yeah, we could knock maybe 3,000 off that if we just don't permit it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, what does that do? It's like, well, we just got to do it fast before they catch us.
Yeah.
All right. Explain to me the logic of the child can walk, so we need more space. I would think you would want to contain that energy.
Well, I don't know. As soon as a kid starts moving around and can get under your feet or can follow you into a room or starts to move, you know that feeling you get when you've been cooped up in a car for a long time? That's what babies have all the time.
Yeah.
They've been unable to move at all.
You're not supposed to leave your kid in the car, Charlie.
Oh, I know. I know you're not supposed to do that. But like, it's just for a minute. You know, I just got to get a bottle of sparkling water or something. That's a hard joke to make here in Georgia, too.
You know what, though? Louis C.K. has a great
too late.
C.K. has a great bit about when you put your kid in the car and the walk around from the passenger side to the driver's side is like heaven. Just for that 30 seconds, you're like, oh, finally.
Quiet. And wait until they like start getting car sick and throwing up everything they've eaten.
Oh, man. Well, I'm used to that. She does that now. Getting her dressed this morning.
Do you call that morning fire? What is it that you call it when I saw on Instagram your wife with spit up all down.
Oh, yeah. I said mornings. Am I right?
Okay. But yeah.
She's a champion spitter upper. So like this morning when I was getting her dressed, I didn't get the bib on in time before she spit up. So I had to take off the outfit I had her in and put her in a new one. So she went through two outfits this morning before we even left the house.
Wow. So you have to plan, like, there's outfit A and outfit B for every day?
Oh, yeah. There's a backup, and I had to bring four additional outfits to the daycare because I'm like, oh, yeah, she's going to mess these up.
Wow. What kind of bag are you using, man? What's your everyday carry?
Oh, my
everyday carry is right now it's just a shoulder bag, like a Timbuktu bag that I just shove everything into. My mom, who is super crafty and handy, basically made me this it's a dad's tool belt, and it's basically a tool belt, but you can put diapers and wipes and everything in.
Are you sure it's not a fanny pack?
No, because it has like multiple, like where you would put like hammers and drills, but it's pockets for like baby bottles. Stuff. Yeah, it's I wear it around the house. I'm like, it looks goofy, but it's super handy.
That's awesome. You're like the modern day version of Mr. Mom.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Fantastic. And you know what though? I love it though. I didn't think I would like it as much, but yeah, no, I.
What, parenthood?
Yeah. Well, just, you know, it's my first kid, so I thought, like, you know, I'm going to let my wife do a majority of this stuff. But no, I like changing her diapers. I like putting her to sleep. I like playing with her. Like, my wife was like, I'll drop off at daycare. And I was like, no, I got this. This, you go to work. I can handle it. You know, so I'm really enjoying it.
Okay. So I have to say I have a little problem with this conversation.
Right on.
I feel like we're privileging the experience of someone who's had like a natural birth versus someone who has adopted a child recently. Because this summer I adopted a little girl, and I just think it's a little weird.
Really?
We haven't talked about her at all.
Oh, let's talk about that. Oh, yeah. I didn't even know you adopted.
I did. I feel like I can feel a lot of your pain. For example, it takes me longer to get out of the house. It's hard getting her to jump in the back. So what are you laughing about?
I'm sorry. Something just tickled me back here behind the board.
I feel like it's weird that we just privilege certain type of children more than others.
No, I mean, I didn't even know. So tell me, how old is your adopted child?
She turned 2 in September.
A 2-year-old, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
She's very hairy.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Like 14, right, in the actual years. You have a teenager.
Yeah. Oh,
I
man,
still
that's
call
wrong.
Her my puppy and tell her she'll always be my little puppy. But yes, it's my first dog.
Oh, ever. Really?
Her name's
you
Pepper.
Never had dogs before?
No.
Were you a cat person or never had pets?
No, cats are horrible.
It's true, everyone.
Yeah. They think of murder at all times.
Yeah. I did not have any dogs or cats growing up. We had fish for a little while. So this is like my first time having my own pet.
Yeah.
Or not really. I mean, I had chickens. So this is my first time having an indoor pet.
Yeah. Dogs are, I mean, that the first dog, that's a lot to adjust
yeah.
to.
Yeah. And it's weird. I don't know if you guys got this as new fathers. Sorry you can't participate, Shannon. But I felt like everybody kept trying to give me advice about how to raise my dog.
Oh,
people
yeah.
do that with
oh,
your
yeah,
baby.
For sure.
Oh, I know it's the worst.
People will,
in the in-crowd now.
People will randomly call out things you should be doing with your child as yeah. you walk by them. I will never forget the lady said, you should put some gloves on that baby. Just like a hit and run,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, critique of our parenting.
Today I was told to watch out for a bear.
Bear?
Yeah, we like to go to Constitution Lakes and Dolls Head Trail for our morning jog. And this woman told me I needed to watch out because there are bears there.
Oh, man. How big is your dog?
She's 33 pounds.
How big is your can of bear spray?
I did have a woman at the farmer's market this weekend just randomly. We were buying butternut squashes. And she just goes...
Squash eye.
Is that the plural? Mm-hmm. Squash eye? Butternut squash eye?
I think it's squish, isn't it?
Squish? Squish? I don't know. Let's consult the Oxford Shannon? American Dictionary.
I have no opinion on this.
Because you don't have any kids, so you just don't even know how to pluralize butternut squash.
But this woman did. She did one of the drive-by, unsolicited parenting advice when she's like, "Oh, those will be fantastic when you puree those for her." And I'm like, "She doesn't eat solids yet. I'm eating these."
I have boy-girl twins.
Okay.
So everyone has a comment about how, "Oh, he's all boy," or "Isn't she such a little lady?" And it's hard to deal with that sometimes. Yeah. I mean, Casey and I, my wife, we try to be polite to strangers when they're being rude to us, right?
When they go low.
We go high. But then every once in a while, I get to say things like, "Actually, he's a boy."
Yeah.
Or "Actually, she's a girl."
Yeah.
Because Juniper, my twin daughter, I almost said which order she was in the birth, and I'm not supposed to say that. She used to walk around with fake knives.
Okay.
All right. Like holding them like she was ready to do something.
Yeah.
And now that she's stopped carrying on fake knives, now she's just a ball of like aggressive, happy energy.
Yeah.
She looks like a bear that's about to play with a puppy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or a rabbit. We'll go swingers. She looks like a big bear with teeth and claws who's about to play with a rabbit all the time.
Yeah.
And people say, "Oh, he's all boy." I was like, "That's a girl."
That's a girl.
Well, Pepper gets a lot of, "Oh my God, isn't she so cute? Look how cute she is." And I try to be like, "Well, she's also really smart. She can fetch. She can sit. High five. Like, it's not just about her looks."
She's hit all of her intellectual development milestones.
To date, yes. But there's more to come. She's learned to drive.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. And
in a Barbie car.
Yeah, it was a Barbie car at my friend's house. I'm doing the same thing I did to my chickens, which is like I try to put her in costumes and funny situations and really humiliate her. Like on Halloween.
Do you want a dog blog? Like in your heart, do you want to have a blog of Pepper's adventures?
Facebook is?
Pepper Plum is one of the best character names
I've
ever
heard. Oh,
she should totally solve crime.
She Pepper and Plum, she has a middle name.
Oh, she has a middle name.
Yeah.
You should start an Instagram account for her.
Yeah, as soon as I learn what Instagram is.
What? It's basically like Facebook, but just photos.
But I have Facebook, so why would I need that?
Oh, well, that's true.
Because Facebook has fake news on it.
Oh. Yeah.
Instagram just has fake lives on it.
Yes, exactly.
I have to say, I love looking back through my Facebook photos and stuff. Cause I'm like, "Oh, my life is so great when I look at it through Facebook." They say you don't look at other people's because it's just like the good stuff. But if you go back through your own Facebook, I feel like it's like, "Oh, I went to that party and then I saw that play and then I did this cool thing." And because you only take photos of the good stuff, like not when you're like in bed crying at home alone. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of my Facebook life.
Okay, you're drinking your own Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
The zhuzhed version of your life. Well, speaking of the zhuzhed version of your life, and speaking also of things that people have strong opinions about, I quit my job.
All right. Yeah.
Oh,
congrats.
Wow.
Yeah.
You let us talk about dogs and babies for 12 minutes before you said
dogs
you quit.
Like that. Don't use that term.
Sorry. Our children.
As we segue toward our commercial break.
You are not getting out of this.
Yeah, we'll
we are going to talk
more
about this on the other
2017.
Side.
2017.
Okay. All right. This is the North Avenue Lounge.
Hey, listeners, if I called you cool cats, would you think of...
Turn your face to the moonlight.
If so, you might like A Bit Off Broadway.
With a little brains.
A little talent.
And some third thing that I bring to the party.
A little brains, a little talent, with an emphasis on the latter. You've gotta know just what to say.
What do you get when you have three brilliant hosts with no script and a love of Broadway? You got Trouble.
You got Trouble!
Oh, we got Trouble!
Right here in River City!
Right here in River City!
With a capital T and that rhymes with P and that stands for pool!
That stands for pool!
Tune in every Thursday at
11
to catch A Bit Off Broadway here at 91.1 FM and on WRK.org.
Welcome back to the North Avenue Lounge. I'm your host, Amanda Plum. I'm also here with your other hosts, Chris Gray, Shannon Turner, and Charlie Bennett. So we talked a little bit about what's been going on in our lives, but why don't we take a second to step back and think about 2016, this year that we'll be leaving shortly.
Good riddance.
Yeah. Do you guys have some favorite episodes that you did in 2016?
I know Charlie had some really strong episodes. I loved listening to his shows.
Which one did you like? Because I don't have my script notes.
Arlo Aldo.
Oh, yeah. That was a really good one. Yeah. Did you cry when you heard about how the song was written? Or is that just me?
Yeah, I totally cried.
Tell us.
Yeah. Through a series of events, I ended up interviewing Dave Manchester from Arlo Aldo, which is a band in Pittsburgh. Kind of an Americana folk rock band. With lots of harmonies. That's like their key. And talking to him, he's a stay-at-home dad, and he writes a lot of songs right from life. You know, so he's writing songs during the day and then off to practice. And I love their song Addie from their new record, House and Home. And it's it's beautiful with all the voices, and it's, you know, Addie, 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 how have you been? I couldn't tell from the shape you were in, you know, some all these stuff, these things that just sort of felt like a cloud of remembering an old lover, say.
Yeah.
And then I asked him, so tell me about that song. You know, tell me what that was all about. The band, after a practice, was following a car and saw it crash.
Oh,
and
wow.
They stopped and helped this woman, Adeline, Addie,
yeah,
of the song. They stayed with her until the, you know, emergency crew came. And so all of the lyrics are about that moment.
Oh, wow.
You know, when they say we couldn't tell from the shape you were in, they're talking about how they didn't know if she was going to live or die.
Oh, wow.
They went to the hospital after, and her parents were talking to them, and that's in the song too. Anyway, I'm getting choked up.
So did she survive?
She's alive. Okay.
And
that's what the song is about. And so now every time I hear that song,
okay,
I cry. But, you know, I cry at all songs now.
Yeah.
I cry at health insurance ads and...
Well, they put popular songs in the ads now, so it's always like it's never just a jingle. It's actually like they've licensed some song from a band that probably already gets you choked up.
What about you, Shannon? Do you have any favorite episodes?
Well, I loved the Celebrity Challenge, just the whole shooting match. You know? So, as a reminder to our audience, every year we select 1 month to do a theme, and all four of us go out and, you know.
You say this every year. Have we done this more than once?
Yeah, we did food.
Yeah, we did food one time.
Oh,
yeah.
Food. Okay, so this, okay.
So we've done 2 years in a row now. And so this year was Celebrity Challenge, where all four of us went out to try to find the biggest celebrity we could get to interview. And Amanda totally ran the board.
Oh, you rocked that one.
Yeah.
By getting the Indigo Girls, and then also won the Best Friend Award by inviting me to come in and help interview the Indigo Girls. And it was amazing. I got to ride in Emily's car. And
what kind of car was it?
It was like a SUV. I mean, she's totally mom. You
okay.
Know? Yeah. And hold her guitar. And Amanda and I brought each of them things that we were famous for. So Amanda brought them kombucha, and I brought them trail mix.
Okay.
And it was probably one of the best days of my life, actually.
I worked the board on that show, and that was pretty amazing because not only was I there, met the Indigo Girls. Thank you again, Amanda. And it was super cool that they were awesome.
Yeah.
They were great mm-hmm. people. But then also I live mixed a live performance by the Indigo Girls.
That's awesome.
Badly, but yeah. I did do it, and it did survive. And so now that's part of things I have done in my life.
Yeah. Right on.
Another thing they let us do is pick the songs that we wanted them to sing.
Yes.
So Shannon and I each picked one of our favorite songs and kind of got this great little serenade in the studio.
Yeah, I have a wonderful YouTube video of them rehearsing Love Will Come to You, which has thousands and thousands of hits on it now.
Nice.
That was incredible. And then later on in the year, I got to interview Kenny Leon of True Colors and Daniel Deadwyler. And that was an incredible day. Kenny Leon walked in 5 minutes late to a live interview. So it was one of those incredibly scary alive feelings. And that's why it's hard that I do this show live. But
I can go off of the adrenaline high of something like that for all day, though. Yes. Like that can keep you going.
The panic.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But we had a great discussion, and it was right in the thick of the political season. So we had, kind of an interesting moment around that. And Kenny Leon is just a brilliant leader in a lot of ways. And he had his awesome tennis shoes on. And I am so thankful to have had a chance to sit next to him and talk about all those things. And now he's getting ready to do Hairspray. You know, he directed that show live. Yeah. So, he's a luminary. And I think that it's great that Atlanta has him here.
That's awesome.
What about you, Chris? I know you don't have your notes with you today either.
You know what? My
boys are slackers.
My favorite one was Liz the surrogate, who I interviewed, because that was just a really interesting story about she had twins for friends of hers who wanted to have children, a gay couple who couldn't
twins
have kids.
Twins everywhere.
Yeah. And so she had twins for these friends of hers, and she already has two children of her own. So it was just an amazing story of, why she did it, the whole process. And then afterwards, of carrying these two babies and then, having to, give them to their parents after you've carried them for 10 months. It was just a really amazing story, and then how both of their families are now connected through this, and what her children think of these other two kids. I was like, are they siblings? Are they, how do they, it's amazing how her kids, they get it. They're just like, oh yeah, those are, mom had them, but they're such and such as kids, So yeah, I thought that was just a really eye-opening and really positive interview.
Are you thinking about becoming a surrogate?
Never. Never.
I want to put Chris on the spot for a minute.
Do it.
So you like to experiment a little bit with your shows. You like to change up the format or do various things. Can you tell us about the, not the worst show, but the most...
The second to the worst?
The least effective show that you've done.
But don't say Hostapalooza, because that would hurt our feelings.
No, it was the one where I did... was it the fake tour of Atlanta show?
I thought you liked that one.
Well, it was a lot of fun to do, but we did not get a lot of positive reactions.
Just call that the Donald Trump tour of Atlanta, where you just make up things and don't fact check anything.
Well, it was a lot of fun because it was basically myself and my friend Kari, who's another improviser, and he was playing this character, Lionel Dotson, and we drove around Atlanta, and he would basically improvise this, like, he's giving me this tour of Atlanta, and everything was wrong. He said, like, the Atlanta Zoo was started because when all the pets from when Atlanta got burned, they were all, didn't have a place to go, so they started the zoo.
Wasn't there some eccentric rich guy got rid of his pets?
I have no idea, but it was, and he said, Little Five Points has a sister city in France. it was hilarious, but when we aired it, I guess we didn't get a lot of positive feedback, and I didn't put a disclaimer saying it was fake.
Yeah, after a couple of those shows, I think you said, okay, disclaimers from now on.
Yeah.
Because someone else called in very angry about one of your characters, the judge character, I think.
That was also my friend Kari, who the judge from Warner Robins, Georgia, who wanted to make, like, everything legal, nothing illegal. So, yeah, that was pretty fun.
So speaking of feedback, Charlie, you don't often share feedback with us. I'm curious what kind of feedback you have gotten about the show.
Almost every email I get with you also. It's just there's very few. I mean, every once in a while there's a burst and someone's like, really? It's Facebook is where the most interaction comes.
And do people like us or not like us? What's going on out there?
Well, they didn't like those episodes.
Well,
I did.
Yeah. Besides Chris. What about the rest of us?
No one has ever suggested that we should be off the air.
Oh, that's good.
But I think everybody's gotten, one of their shows have gotten a, hey, this was a great show. Mm-hmm. I think Shannon's October 10th show just got a great show on Facebook. We got some comments about the Indigo Girls. You know, people keep asking who that Chris guy is.
Some of my guests will tell me that, you know, people say they've heard him. So, yeah. For example, my last guest was Maley, who is a dog trainer over at the Atlanta Humane Society and was Pepper's trainer. Really, she trained me more than she trained Pepper. But, she definitely got lots of people commenting that they heard her on the radio. She's got a loyal following, much bigger than our listener base, but...
So Facebooks are, I guess we get the most interaction from listeners through our Facebook page?
Yeah, I mean, percentage of contacts?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay. When we get an email, it's usually a pretty thorough comment. No one ever sends the email, good show.
Yeah.
But yeah, Facebook is where the most action happens.
Okay.
So for example, if someone were listening right now and felt like we were just nailing it and wanted to let us know, they could... go to the Facebook.
Yeah, facebook.com/. We are the North Avenue Lounge on Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't think we got to hear from you, Amanda, about your favorite shows of the year.
We talked about one of your shows. But...
yeah, I think the Inuit Girls, I mean, I think that was probably my favorite. I also learned a lot more than I ever thought I would about a video game called EVE Online.
Oh yeah.
Like, so I think it's kind of funny when you go into these rabbit holes, you know, of I'm like, I feel like I bring up in conversations now, like, I know about this massively multiplayer online game and this world and all this stuff. But I really like that. I also really enjoyed Chris and I had a show we did together all about chickens.
The chickens, yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, but I lost all my chickens this summer. To a raccoon, probably, most likely.
The same one that got the first chicken?
I don't know. I didn't meet the raccoon, nor have I really think I could identify said raccoon. But, so it was really nice to have that.
Yeah.
So I have that to remember them by, as well as a lot of photos.
Is that why you got the dog?
No, in fact, I got Pepper a week or so before they passed away.
Oh, wow.
And she had nothing to do with it. She was in the house with me that night. I think she did help in the healing, because the next morning, instead of waking up to let, you know, to check on the chickens and let them out, I woke up and took her for a walk. So she's definitely kept me pretty busy.
Okay. Are you going to get any more chickens?
I don't know. You'll have to stay tuned to our next segment. We'll talk about what's going to happen in 2017.
Okay.
I should drop something in here. You can find almost every show we've mentioned at northavenuelounge.com. And I also love the fact that we have this sort of, we, the hosts, we have this collective diary. This audio diary of things we were interested in, things we were concerned about, or just random stuff that happened to us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's nice.
I also think it's pretty cool that at this point, I think we've each worked together one-on-one with, you and I, Charlie, work on every episode.
I'm always on the board, yeah.
Yes, but Chris and I worked on the dating series episode together. Amanda and I worked on the Indigo. I think we've all, and you guys did the chickens episode. So we have a lot of overlap, not just Hostapalooza. So I think that's cool.
Charlie, yeah. We need to do a show together.
We have. We've done interview shows. I've interviewed you like 3 times.
Well, that's how I got on here.
Yeah.
We haven't collaborated. Did any of you guys know any of your shows that you're working on, or... are y'all just phoning it in for the rest of the year?
I don't want to talk about that.
Hey, you don't or do want to talk about that, Jen?
I want to talk about that in the next segment because I have lots to say, actually.
Okay. You know what? I think what we can do right now is I can do what I'm legally required to do. This is WREK Atlanta. Okay.
But you're not going to do the do-do-do, like the music?
I'm not. I'm just going to roll right through it.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to find an ID, Amanda?
I just like the music. I think we could all sing it together.
We always dance to it while it's playing. You guys should see us doing our little hoedown in the station. It's hilarious.
Chris especially.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shannon, why don't you preview the next segment?
It's Chris's section, so I'll pass him my notes because he did not bring his homework.
Why I was saying that Shannon should do.
No, I'm just going to put him on blast because that's more fun.
Oh, it's all good. I want to talk about what we want to do in the future.
Hey,
catching you.
Before we do that.
Yeah.
You are listening to the North Avenue Lounge here on WREK Atlanta.
That's like your bedroom voice there, Charlie.
That was for all of you.
Thank you.
I feel seduced.
You totally don't know what my bedroom voice sounds like. It's kind of high, sort of. Yes.
And you guys had babies?
awesome. Well, let's talk about like our last show, I guess, for December in 2017. What are we looking forward to? What do we want to do either with your upcoming interviews or just life in general for 2017? And let's start with Shannon.
Well, as I mentioned, I quit my job. The thing I'm going to do is to become a storyteller and story coach.
You are a storyteller.
I'm going to become a full-time professional storyteller. And so that means I'm going to have a lot more flexibility in my life. And it also means I'm going to have more time to devote to the show. So I'm really
excited. Because now you're entering the gig economy.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to be able to travel more. And I think I'm going to try to work on how I develop the show more intentionally rather than just trying to fit it in around, you know, being a full-time worker with, you know, all these board management opportunities and
no children.
And no children.
Me.
Yes.
And Chris and Charlie.
All of my babies are creative projects. So I'm actually thinking about, you know, trying to take some of the burden off of Charlie and investing in some equipment and learning how to do the editing and really trying to do the show the way that you guys do it.
You know, this is not because it would take the burden off of me, but I think that would be fantastic for you to jump from. You often use panels mm-hmm. to sort of, you started using panels at the beginning to protect yourself from a moment of, I don't know what to say, you know, but I've watched or heard you become a seasoned radio host over the past few years. And you could totally just wherever you end up, find someone you want to talk to and set up a voice recorder and record a North Avenue Lounge right there.
Yeah. Well, I figure if I'm going to call myself a storyteller and story coach, then why not take the show as I do it a little bit more in the direction of actually storytelling in terms of helping people tell their story a little bit more intimately and not just have it be me trying to pretend I'm Terry Gross. Which, let's face it, Terry Gross, if you're listening to this, I do want your job. So I'm not going to, I don't have actual people lined up. I know that that's where I want to take my.
Do you have a philosophy of guest selection? Because that's what I have right now.
People that I want to meet, people that are going to give me free tickets to their shows, people whose stories that I think deserve being given airtime.
Yeah. For me, I want to, I have often for the North Avenue Lounge done guests outside of Atlanta who maybe are coming through authors and musicians a lot of times. And I think that I may have done the show a disservice by looking out of the city when there is so much here that's not getting exposed. It's not being given its due. And so I want to focus a lot more on things happening here and mm-hmm. people who are not on a publicity tour.
Yeah.
You know, folks who are just doing their own thing. I met a furniture maker, make furniture, not war. That's his slogan. And so I want to talk to him, you know, that kind of thing. He does handmade furniture.
Yeah.
I have a different strategy. I go out on OkCupid dates and when I realize pretty early on that I'm not interested in them romantically, I try to figure out would they make a good guest and could I just, you know, kill two birds with one stone.
Kill two birds. So you interview them and then you shoot them.
Yes.
So all your guests have at least had, you've had dinner with them prior to.
I think I'm exaggerating a little. My next guest actually is going to be a dear friend of mine, Jimmy Lowe, who just came out with a book of poetry. And I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I totally hate poetry. So that's going to be a fun interview. I think I'm going to task him with trying to convince me that poetry is good and has some merit. But that will be my next show, my December
awesome.
Show.
Awesome.
This could be a show all by itself, but have you tried to get into poetry? How have you tried to get into
it? I like two poets. Well, three if you include Jimmy Lowe. Some of his stuff is accessible to me. Others are not. But I like Shel Silverstein. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of him.
I love him. Have all of his books. I read them to my daughter at night.
Yeah, he's a little edgy. And
he really is, actually.
Yeah. And I like Dorothy Parker. Because she's very sassy.
She wrote poems too?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, yeah. And they're like really sassy.
Right on. I think I'm going to go focus a little more on music this coming year.
Nice.
I had a idea of trying to become a DJ because I know nothing about DJs and how they do what they do and why. So that kind of got you know, piqued my interest about, you know, what do DJs do? Music, you know, the soundtracks that we all have for our lives. What kind of music do you like? So, yeah, I'm going to interview some DJs, some musicians, and really just showcase my ignorance of music. Because, yeah, I want to learn more about music.
I'll give you a tip.
Yeah.
When you have musicians on, tell them to bring some music with them.
Oh, no.
Or their guitar. It's really nice.
Well, that'll be a part of each one because every part of my interview or show, we're gonna put together a little playlist of and talk about what those songs are, even if it's not their songs. if it's a DJ, and you know what do they like? What do they like to play? I have a friend who he's a DJ. He plays weddings, and of course at weddings you have a completely different playlist from what you probably actually like. So you know I'm curious to find out. What do you like? What do you play when you're home and it's just you and your friends? He's a big hip hop head. So I want to, you know, let's talk about some of the music that he likes, you know, because music will put you back to, you hear a song and you're like, oh man, I remember that from middle school, you know, and it'll take you back. So yeah, I want to, you know, focus on music a little more and memory and, you know, stories about, you know, oh man, that's, you know, Run DMC. I heard them the first time when I was in elementary school back in the 80s. And then we could talk about, you know, what kind of kid you were back then, you know? So yes, it'll be fun.
That's fantastic. So speaking of weddings and some of our favorite episodes.
What is happening?
Do you remember my friend Dave Leach, who was the 6-time Jeopardy champion that we had on?
Yes.
He's getting married, and I'm going to get to be the officiant.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
Because he was like, I want a storyteller.
Very cool.
And they're getting married, in Scotland.
Yes, I don't get to go to the Scotland part. I mean, I could, but that's not the part that I'm officiating.
Okay.
So,
have you ever married somebody before?
No, not in either way.
That's the way you say it. An officiant marries people.
Yeah. I know, but it's going to be a great honor to do this, actually.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited.
Charlie's done it, what, 10, 20 times?
Just the once.
Oh, yeah. I've done it 5 times for really? five of my friends, yeah.
Are you ordained in any way?
Universal Life Church.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've done, which is kind of weird because, you know, every time I've, you know, officiated someone's wedding, there's no point where that your credentials are asked for. You just sign the marriage license and anybody can basically sign it. So it's like, oh, so anybody can do this.
It's just if ever someone's not holding their peace and wants to end the marriage.
Yeah.
That's the first part. It's like, oh, it's not even legitimate.
Yeah.
So it seems like as of next year, I'll be the only host who has not officiated a wedding. So I'm just going to put this out there. Atlanta.
Yeah.
If any of you need someone to officiate your wedding.
Hey, remember, passive construction, no calls to action.
Then yeah. I know someone named Amanda Plum who would be willing to do that.
You could do that.
Nice. Yeah.
You could get all four of us to come together. It would be like an amazing little North Avenue Lounge opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
When has that ever happened? Have four radio hosts.
If we had someone who liked this show so much that they want us to officiate their wedding, then we have to meet that person.
Yeah.
That would be great to do a show of you officiating someone's wedding.
So
that would be great.
Wait. We keep circling this thing, Shannon. You're gonna go full time storytelling and storytelling consultant. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're gonna do that in a very constructed way, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna start my own practice and it's gonna be broken down into hosting workshops. One-on-one coaching with people, hosting public events, so, you know, story shows, and then having a blog.
Nice.
And the blog will have some freebies and some subscription base.
Are you and the other storyteller event hosters, are you all going to get in a fight, like a cage match kind of thing? Because I've noticed that it's starting...
A lot of big words will be thrown.
A lot of stuff going on storytelling-wise.
Yeah.
The live lit scene and storytelling scene in Atlanta... Or maybe I just know all those people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know. Is it just I know everybody who does it?
Yeah, it's a kind of a, it feels like a small community, but there's a lot of people.
Well, I think it's an ecology that is pretty supportive in the same way that podcast community is pretty supportive. And I want to get back to podcasts, actually, Charlie, because you're in that community even more than we are. And you've got some really great developments that are coming along. And I think it's, you know, kind of a natural building up and paring down process. So some things work and some things don't. And I'm just going to get into that process of seeing what is what the community is ripe for and what maybe doesn't work. So I have an idea to start a new show that's called Trigger Warning, that will be for people to tell stories that, you know, where they've encountered violence or trauma.
Holy cow.
So I'll give that a shot and see if it works. And if it doesn't, then I'll let it go. But I want to hear more about, so you're letting some things go and you're starting some new things as well.
I am. It's been sort of a constant joke that I do a whole bunch of shows, and it's true that I do. But up until now, it's sort of been layers of involvement. Like, I have one show, one podcast called Consilience with Pete and Charlie. That really is just, I record a half hour conversation between me and Pete about whatever. Like, this is how it starts. What do you want to talk about? I don't know. I read this thing in the New York Times. Okay, let me hit record, and then we go. And so it's like it's an improv game that's almost always bad. But, you know, it was my first attempt at a regular podcast-only show. And I learned a lot over 4 years, but I also, we didn't build an audience, and it doesn't do much besides make a conversation between friends producible.
Yeah.
So we're going to fade that out. And I started a show called Super Context with my podcast partner, Chris, from How Stuff Works.
Yay. Yeah, awesome.
He is Christian Sager, who does, oh man, there's so many shows over there, and it's not Stuff They Don't Want You, Stuff to Blow Your Mind. Mm-hmm. So Stuff to Blow Your Mind is Chris and Joe and Robert. But Chris wanted to do a show separate from How Stuff Works and more of a media criticism show. So Super Context, it's a podcast autopsy of media where we take some form of media that we enjoy or we find compelling and we dive deep. We don't just review. We talk about how it was made, where the money came from, where the idea came from, what the people did before, why, say, an outlet is using that particular thing to do something. Like, we did Stranger Things most recently. And we talked a lot about, why would Netflix produce a show like this? Why is nostalgia so important mm-hmm. to so many people? And what is different about a show done as if it were the 80s versus a show done as 80s shows were done?
Yeah.
You know? And we talked about how, like, post-Vietnam, there was a lot of tropes. But then when you take those tropes away from Vietnam, then you just get these sort of nostalgic bundles of non-meaning that are comforting. Anyway, so that level of pretension is what goes on in Super Context. But that show has actually taken off, and our audience is expanding, and we have a sponsor, a for real sponsor, not just like, hey, free food if you mention us on the air kind of sponsor. And so I'm looking forward to pursuing that as an actual business, as an actual venture, as opposed to just experimenting.
Wow, that sounds awesome. That sounds awesome, man. I listen.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Super Context.
Yeah.
You can find supercontextpodcast.tumblr.com.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah. So we are going to have another theme month next year. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm down. What do you want to do?
Well, Chris said music, but then if that's going to be what your focus is, we shouldn't have a month as like, hey, Chris's focus.
Yeah.
But something like that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know? Is it going to be a competition like last year?
We need a slightly better metric because it was obvious.
Prize.
It
was obvious I won, but I didn't get a prize.
Exactly. And it was obvious that the Indigo Girls were the most famous celebrities, but that was just because they were the most famous celebrities.
Yeah.
If we had all had famous celebrities, how could we have told? You know, I'm not going to do citation and impact searches for a bunch of guests.
Yeah. I feel like music is too easy. Like, we always talk to musicians. Like, that's what about like animals?
Oh,
right. You want to have pepper on as a guest?
Yes.
I'm sold.
I feel like that's just a theme. Anything about animals.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
I've already done my dog trainer, so she's gone. But like, I feel like we could, like, I might do something from Zoo Atlanta.
Okay.
Like, I met the guy that's the head of the bird division there, and he's kind of cute, so maybe I'd ask him for an interview.
How about if we have a theme of,
I hope he's listening right now.
Because you said you wanted to do more things, I guess, around the city or in Georgia.
Yeah.
What if we do...
Cute single men of Atlanta?
No.
I like it. That's a good one.
Yeah, well, that could work. But
is that Charlie's idea?
It's perfect for radio.
Yeah. But all the different, like, roadside attractions that are in Georgia, like, and once you get off the highway...
Oh, we can call it 1 hour out of the city.
Yeah.
That could just be a road trip.
Like, there's the Georgia Guidestones. There's the giant peach that's somewhere.
That's in South Carolina.
there's a, I just discovered this, there's a, at the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, there's a forensics crime museum that's only open by, it's only open by appointment.
Called it.
I okay. Just, yeah. So I think like there are all these really cool, like, once you get off the highway,
yeah,
roadside.
I know what I'm doing.
Attraction.
I got it.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, me too.
I'm not telling.
Yeah, I'm not telling.
Wait, should I tell?
I guess.
We talked about it last time beforehand because we talked about we didn't know who we were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to get Kinsey Family Farms and talk to them.
I'm totally calling Goats on the Roof.
Nice. Okay, you're going to do the GBI forensics.
I don't know. Maybe I'll go out to the hostel in the forest.
Ah, that's a great one.
Hostel. Is there a hostel? Forest. Oh, the hike in?
No, that's in the mountains. This is at the coast.
Okay.
Oh, what about the Dollhead Trail?
Oh, that's where Pepper and I go running every morning. Not to talk about my dog again.
Yeah, but I think
that'd be fun.
That could be that could be a fun theme of just like these, you know, weird things outside of the city.
Weird Atlanta. Something.
All right.
What's that gesture you're making, Charlie? The radio people can't see it.
That's wind it up.
Wind it up.
And I'm saying that to the host of the segment. You've got to bring it to a close and then say,
Chris forgot you.
We'll be back after these messages.
All right. Well, that's the end of that segment. And we'll be back after these messages.
Very good. You have successfully inserted the tape into your VCR. And now you're ready to relax. That's right. Take a deep breath in. And hold it. And let it out. Very good. Now, reach up high above your head. And try to grab a little stars. And now, have your hands down. Straight in front of you. That's right, towards the radio. Tune to 91.1 FM. It's Thursdays at 7. And time for Sci-Fi Lab. The most relaxing activity of all.
Amanda, getting the mic in. So when you do that, when you speak into an open mic, either on purpose or accidentally, it's called a mic. M-Y-K-E.
Oh, like Mike Johns.
Like Mike Johns, but it's not named after Mike Johns. And hi, Mike, if you're listening.
Yeah.
This segment is called Holiday Activities Preview. I am going to come out of the closet. I hate Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah. I hate everything about Christmas.
Yeah. Except your children.
Why are you off, Amanda? What's going on there?
I haven't been on at all today. I can't hear myself in my headphones.
There you go.
Have I been off this entire time?
Yes. No, you haven't. That was me coming back from the
message. This is the first I've heard myself in the headphones.
Well, you should turn yourself up, man.
This turns everybody up. Oh, no, just me.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so I am...
That's why I don't do live radio.
I'm tired of Christmas. There are two kinds of people, right, when the Christmas decorations pop up, and there's like, yay, it's Christmas, and then there's It Begins, and I am an It Begins person.
Like it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, like that?
Exactly, except more, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah.
I think there's a third kind of person that says, this cannot possibly happen before Thanksgiving.
I yelled at my sister-in-law for playing Christmas music while we were preparing Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I yelled. And
there's
I had
Thanksgiving music.
I had to. Well, yeah, there is. There's Alice's Restaurant.
Oh, what is that?
You're going to have to sing it for us.
Oh, my God.
Alice's Restaurant.
Google it. Find it. I can give you direction, right? I can, not the audience, but I can tell you.
You can totally do it. Okay. Arlo Guthrie sang Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant, excepting Alice.
Oh, I don't think I've ever heard that.
Okay, homework.
Yeah. I know it.
Alice, you know it.
Yes.
Well, I haven't used it. Back me up, Shannon. That is a Thanksgiving song.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I fall into your camp of...
We don't have to start off talking about the holidays by starting to talk off about Christmas. Do the Thanksgiving review.
Yeah, Doc, I want to kill.
Remind us what you did for Arbor Day.
I want to see black burnt bodies and veins in my teeth kill.
What is he talking about?
And we were jumping up and down on the... And he was yelling kill with me. And we're going kill, kill, kill. And he said, son, you're the kind of boy we want for the U.S. Army. You're good to go.
Is this the same song?
Yeah, it's Alice's Restaurant is all about the Vietnam War.
Okay.
You could also talk about WKRP throwing the turkeys off of it.
Everybody loves the turkeys. All right. holiday activities. So I have said that this is my deal. Yeah. So I give it to you all to talk about what you enjoy.
I firmly fall into your camp of when the Christmas right after Thanksgiving and it's
right
here.
Yeah. Right here, buddy.
And it's, oh man, like, I mean, the day after Thanksgiving, like our neighbors already had their lights up and I see, you know, Christmas trees coming in and I was, yeah, I did the same thing where I just went,
oh. I feel bad for your daughter.
Let me send a message back from, you know, from the future time. I am the ghost of Christmas future. When your kid's walking and talking,
yeah,
Christmas is all about finding things to amaze her.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about spectacle, right? And you'll be doing the botanical gardens and, you know, the lights, and you'll be going, finding houses that are over-decorated so you can just stand in front of them and go, hey, look, what do you see? And all that stuff.
There's a great one on Monroe that synchronizes it to music. You tune
in. That's cool. Well, see, that's what I think, like, now that I have a kid, but she's not old enough yet to really, like, enjoy any of that, so I'm still like,
my daughter is afraid of decorations in people's yards. She gets really scared when we go on our walks, and she hated Halloween. She hated me putting a costume on her. She hated, we had these neighbors down the street.
Wait, what was the costume you put on?
Well, I first did a shark costume and she looked just like humiliated and demoralized, so then I switched her to a ballerina, which she didn't mind as much.
So there
and
were
I've already
two
got her
costumes.
Costume for next year. It's she's gonna be a turtle. And there's this house on my street that always goes crazy for Halloween. Like last year they built a pirate ship that you walked through.
Oh wow.
And this year it was the carnival. And I took Pepper, and there was this, like, three-headed black dog that she was sniffing around and, like,
Cerebus.
Into.
Yeah.
And then it came to life and started blowing smoke out and moving. And she was so freaked out. And for the rest of the night, she was, like, miserable. And she did not want to go into the haunted house. And so there's this lady in line with us, and she's like, well, my daughter wants to go in by herself, so I can stay out here with your dog. And I figured, like, if this woman's letting us stay with her daughter, like, she could keep my dog. Either or she's just a really poor judgment. And
right. That would be an extreme trade, and you'd like to see what would happen if that's what somebody wanted to do.
So I don't know. This is Pepper's first Christmas, but she does not like the decorations around the neighborhood very much.
Okay. So I want to thank the two people who liked our Facebook page during this broadcast.
Who are they?
No, come on. We can't do that.
Yes.
Two people.
What are their names?
I'll tell you later. I'm not going to broadcast.
We should shout out their names. More people would like us if we said their name on the air.
Privacy.
You want to talk people's privacy about them liking our show?
Just don't want to say their names on the air. Amanda, this is why you don't do live radio.
All right, Shannon.
Yeah, also Shannon, you have a whole list of stuff.
I do, but that I am in the camp that, you know, Christmas should start after Thanksgiving. So I definitely get, you know,
like today or the day after Thanksgiving.
On December 1st. I do not want to see decorations after Halloween. I think it should start on, you know, in the appropriate season.
There's tinsel in the studio, people.
But with that said, I do look forward to certain traditions every year. I love going to see the Surf Christmas Music Show. I love going to see Charlie Brown on Christmas. And this year, there are two shows, one at Venkman's and one at the Earl. I am unfortunately not going to get to see the Indigo Girls concert that happens every year. They already sold out. I'm so disappointed. And Snap Judgment is coming to town for a live show this year, so I'm very excited about that.
Oh, wow.
Chris, didn't you talk to the Snap Judgment guy?
No, I talked to someone who would have been on Snap Judgment.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have my annual film viewing calendar where, you know, every year at different times of the year, I have the same movie. So I watch Groundhog Day every year on Groundhog
Day. Of course.
You know, I watch He's Just Not That Into You every year on Valentine's Day.
you should stop doing that.
I know. It's not like a reifying worldview. But I always watch Home for the Holidays at Thanksgiving. And I have a whole slew of movies that I have to get in around Christmas and New Year's. So,
do you schedule those? Do you have?
No, I change it up a little bit. But there's When Harry Met Sally, Bridget Jones's Diary.
Are you going to add the Gilmore Girls: A Year in a Life to the day after Thanksgiving rotation?
No, I have a mixed review on that, but at least it's done.
I don't know why I wouldn't have a segment on that.
Anyway.
Chris, before we move on to Shannon's one last thing.
Yeah.
Why 30 Days of Denzel?
I was just about to bring that
up.
Okay,
good. Yeah.
Yeah. So December, I do 31 Days of Denzel Washington movie called the Denzember. It's great because it started this year will be the second year I do it. But it started a couple years ago when I was looking through IMDb and just looking at Denzel Washington's his movies he's all done. He's never done a sequel.
There was no Glory 2?
Nope, there was no Glory 2.
Faded Glory?
No. So, but, and there were, I mean, and he has way more than 31 movies.
I count 56 right now.
Yes. So, Denzember starts December 1st. You watch a Denzel Washington movie every day of December to the 31st. And I have a Tumblr page, Denzember, at Tumblr.com. And, yeah, and I'll list each movie that I'm watching each day for December.
How far ahead do you decide?
I'll put out the list this week. I'll put it out on the 30th. And I'll just go through, and there are some classics on there, you know, that you definitely want to see. You definitely want to see Training Day. You definitely want to see
Never
Glory.
But then
there are some deep cuts in there.
Man on Fire.
Oh, Man on Fire is fantastic.
I'm going to try and watch it simultaneously with you, because Man on Fire is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, it's a great movie. But there are some deep cuts in there, like one of his first movies called Carbon Copy, which you almost have to watch it on YouTube because you can't find it anywhere. There's like The Preacher's Wife with Whitney Houston. And yeah, so yeah, Denzember for 2017. And that's my holiday tradition. Anyone else? Anyone?
Now more than ever. I've heard that phrase so many times lately. Now more than ever, I should get to know my neighbor. I should start fighting homelessness. I should start finally giving to the organizations I've always supported but only really liked their Facebook posts. Feels to me like a lot of people seem like that's happened, feel like everything that's happened in the last couple of months has had a galvanizing effect. I remember thinking when September 11th happened, the whole world was going to change for the better. How disappointed I was to see more fear, more violence, more xenophobia instead. I remember thinking after we lived through the shootings at Virginia Tech, and particularly when all those little children were massacred at Newtown, that the whole world was going to wake up and change for the better. How disappointed I was to see that rather than passing sensible gun laws, ineffectual legislators did nothing, quaked in their boots in front of the gun lobbies instead. Now, there are conspiracy theorists who say Newtown was just a hoax created precisely to enable government to take away their guns. I remember how one of my best teachers told me that after JFK was assassinated, he decided to dedicate himself to living the mission Kennedy left unfinished. Upon graduation, he picked up his life, moved to a different state, started doing the thing he felt he was always meant to do. Grace Lee Boggs, mentor, hero, and inspirer to generations, once talked about how people exercising their creativity in the midst of devastation is one of the great historical contributions of humankind. When I struck out on my own in my early 20s, even as I was in that existential wandering phase so many of us encounter post-college, I immediately started getting messages that I needed to buckle down, start paying back the debts I owed. I was 23, working in a bar and trying to figure out who I was, and my father told me I needed to take out a life insurance policy on myself because that was the responsible thing to do. Eventually, I got a job in arts administration because if I could at least be arts adjacent, I felt I would be close to creativity and still be financially responsible. Yet I have known for a long time that I was cheating myself. I was lying about who I really was. And I felt cheated by a society that told me I had to do that in order to do it right. But lately, something has changed. Something shifted. I finally woke up. And that is why I've decided to give up my salary and my health insurance stipend and launch this dream to do what I am meant to do, to be a full-time storyteller and story coach, even in the midst of so much political turmoil and economic uncertainty. It's the only way I know how to get to the truth, my truth, as well as to help other people find access to theirs. I really hope I don't fall flat on my face, but if I do, it'll be the most honest and brave way I possibly could. In a year where we've lost so many great artists, and trust me, I'm not putting myself in their category, but those were people who did not sit around and wait for permission. In a year where everything feels all upside down and backward, in a time where all that's left to say is, now, more than ever.
You are listening to the North Avenue Lounge. You can hear this show again at northavenuelounge.com, along with almost all the others. Thank you for tuning in to Host of Palooza, the last one of 2016. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
One last mic from Amanda. Do it.
Woo.